This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I just want to know how you feel. Want to love that soul.
Last night was my parents' anniversary, Anspa, and guess what we listened to?
Fuck You by
Yes, that's exactly right. They love it now, because they sometimes listen to the show, and they love the song, because they love the show.
What did you listen to?
Fuck You, we just went over this, dude.
No, okay, no, but what, come on.
It was
on.
A playlist that my sister and I put together of artists, or songs by artists that they've seen live.
Oh, that's really cute. How long have they been together?
34 years. So,
whoa!
Don't tell me love is dead, Dan Reeder.
That's amazing.
Yeah, long time, no time. What's been Gucci?
How do you feel about the fact that it's like you probably won't achieve that?
What are you talking about, man?
No, I'm just saying it's like, I mean, we can be real with each other.
No, I am being real. You think I'm never going to find love?
Does it hurt you? No, I'm not saying you're not going to find love, but it's like
it's not going to last.
It's not going to last. It's not going to last 34 years.
Holy shit. Yeah, I guess I feel bad. I wasn't thinking about it till just now, and I'm sad.
Yeah.
You've made me sad. Okay. You've saddened me.
Well, no, I didn't make you feel that way.
You did.
I can't make you.
That's why
anything.
You just looked out the window. You couldn't even look me in the eyes.
No, I'm looking right at you.
You looked out the window when she said that. It's an audio medium, but they absolutely know that you're not looking me in the goddamn eye.
It's been a long time without you, Jeffrey.
Oh.
And I'll tell you all about it when we're talking right now.
You will tell me all about it when we're talking right now.
Yeah. So I'll, you know.
So I just showed you my my bite wound from the dog. And you said that it didn't look too bad. But
it doesn't look too bad.
It's not that bad. But I do wish that it was over here or even on my eyebrow. Because then I could be a Charlie Puth type thing, you know what
I
mean?
But it is truly in the middle of your forehead.
And I'm drinking a Truly into the middle of my forehead. Oh!
You told me it was a... Oh!
Right into the wound!
How are you, other than the fact that a dog bit your face?
I'm over it. I'm past it. I'm basically, what you have to understand is I'm kind of a macho guy. So for me, it's like, not. I don't have trauma. I don't have... tears.
Macho, macho man.
What is that?
I wanna be. Have you never heard that song?
No, what is that? Yeah, now you're realizing how insane that must have been from my perspective. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No. Okay, edit that song in here.
Okay.
Right now.
Right now, let's hear it. Oh no.
I can't believe you've never heard it.
Is this a real song?
Yes.
What is it from?
The world.
It sounds like it has to be a theme song. It's so lo-fi. I'm going to skip ahead. The lyrical content is absurd, obscene, and it's not for my eyes to have been seen.
Yeah, that's what made me think of.
We have another source that we wanted to plug to donate.
Yes, yes.
The Black Trans Femmes in the Arts, also known as BTFA Collective. They are dedicated to creating space for Black trans femmes in the arts and beyond. So check out both of the Review View Instagram, Riley and I's Instagram. Do you want to plug your Instagram for what where they can find the link?
You can find it on my Instagram at Riley Anspa.
And mine at I am Jeffrey James. And then the Review Review Instagram at Review Review. Link in bio. Mm-hmm. Feel free to donate whatever cash you have. And it's going to a good cause. So.
And here we are.
Here we aren't.
Here, well,
I hang up.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
He's a macho man.
Everybody dreams of the body of a macho man. That's one of the lyrics that I heard. I think I misspoke just now, but yeah. This is
so
a different episode.
We're switching it up on the beat today.
This is our 22nd episode, I think. So, like, we've almost been doing it. Well, it matters. I was like, it's almost been a half a year. So it was high time and it was high tide.
It is high tide. So we are not going to be able to walk on the beach because the water's too high. So because we can't do that, we are going to just record an episode.
The beach is Yelp. We can't touch that.
Yeah.
So we have to stay on the yard, which is Reddit.
The beach is Yelp. So yeah, so Jeffrey put a little, last night, put a little thing on Reddit.
A feeler.
He put his little antennas out there. He's a bug of himself, and he went like...
Well, come on. I didn't look like that. I was kind of hot about it. I was kind of like an 8.
So he was like...
No, I was kind of like typing with a sharp jawline is what I was doing.
Okay, so the jaw was sharp, but the sounds were like...
No, the sounds were like macho man.
And we got some questions.
You've read some of these. I haven't read any of these. So this is cold reads
for
Jeff.
Some of these are very funny. How do you want to go about...
Let's just switch off choosing one. Do you want to go first?
Fine.
Fine. What do you mean fine?
No, it's just like, why are we here?
So many reasons. To make people laugh, to bring joy to the world. Joy to the world that Riley pods. She bought a microphone. That's it.
Okay, I'm going to kind of lump all these together in one because I'm seeing a couple that are basically like, who's your favorite comedian / who are your comedy influences? Jeff?
I look like a rhinoceros. look at this.
So,
yeah, describe how I look right now.
It's not even the Band-Aid down the T-zone of your face. I know this is an audio medium, but I'm sure you guys know what I'm talking about. There's a face that Jeff does that really makes me laugh every time, and it's...
What? I don't even know what you're going to say.
And like, every time you do it, it makes me laugh. It's kind of... It's kind of like you, like, lean into your hip, and you kind of like... And you kind of like, you let your head rest on your shoulder and your eyes go kind of dead and like your mouth is a little like,
Oh, it's the it's like the thing from the profile picture sketch.
Yeah, it's
the thumbnail for that.
So that's my comedy influence, is Jeff doing that.
What are my... obviously Jake and Amir. We both grew up watching them. Mm-hmm. All of David Wayne's stuff. I love Wet Hot American Summer. And I guess that's it. But his sense of humor really gets me. The whole the Halls joke that we did in the sketch. Like, that was an homage to, like, the...
Which one?
I think that was before you started working full time.
Wow.
But there was a thing in Guy Talk where I get turned into a bag of Halls.
Oh, and yes.
It's like how the chef in Wet Hot American Summer gets turned into beans or whatever, or a can.
Yeah, like a can of vegetables.
Yeah, like that absurdity I fucking love. And then Arrested Development, obviously. Not obvious, but I just love it. Just anything that's absurd. Like anything that's not grounded at all.
Yeah, similarly, Jake and Amir. And I want to emphasize that we grew up with them because we are young and spry and they are old and withered.
What's that?
It's just that it's like saying like we got to age as we watched them, whereas they have been aging.
Right. So when they were in their mid-20s, rate them and then rate them now, 1 to 10.
I guess like mid-20s, they were in their primes. Yeah.
Both 10s.
And now...
Yeesh, have you seen Jake?
No. So Jake and Amir, for sure. All the college humor stuff I like was just obsessed with.
Yeah.
And other than that, anything Christopher Guest has ever done, anything... He's a Midas. Anything he touches is gold. Just the whole crew is like, so him, Catherine O'Hara, Eugene Levy, Parker Posey.
Yeah.
That, like, Waiting for Guffman's my favorite movie of all time. I think, like, and I do love absurd stuff too. Ari, Good Morning. But there's something about, like, the groundedness of people loving a niche thing so much and taking that very seriously. And like I love something that Christopher Guest has said in interviews. I know too much about Christopher Guest, but something that he said in an interview on David Rose was Charlie Rose. I'm thinking fucking shit.
Yeah.
On Charlie Rose, he was being interviewed about, I think it was maybe Best in Show or was it Waiting for Guffman? I can't remember. One of the two.
Yeah.
Both of them are very like dog shows and community theater are like very niche things.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, so you have a new mockumentary coming out. And he's like, I hate the word mockumentary because like I'm not making fun of them. If you're just making fun of people and it's mean, it's not funny. It's like you have to really empathize with like this is for these people. This is the most important thing, and this is their whole world. And who are we to judge that? And I just think that's awesome, and I think it's so fucking funny. And Eddie Izzard, it has been a very big influence to me.
Have you seen all of New Girl?
No.
New Girl also really shaped my sense of humor. Like when I sit down to write like a spec anything. Mm-hmm. I like look back at the New Girl pilot and I'm like, okay, how did they do that? Like, I love New Girl. You should really give it a chance because it's like so much of stuff that would make you laugh.
The show that's like that for me is Hello Ladies, which I think you'd really love. It's on HBO. There's only one season of it and it was made. There's one season.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Special. No, it's fucking Stephen Merchant.
Stephen Merchant.
I love him.
Who made The Office. So it is my... It's my favorite TV show. And also like Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Fleabag, all that stuff. But
yeah,
there's something about Hello Ladies. I don't love like cringe comedy, but I do love when things, I don't not love cringe comedy.
Some people take it too far, but I think Stephen Merchant's the fucking king
Stephen
of
Merchant,
like,
right, yeah.
You're rooting
Sometimes
for him, but he's
far.
Being
yes.
the fucking worst.
Yes. So it's like, I don't like cringe comedy, but I love that fine line of like right before it gets there.
Yeah.
And I think he does that beautifully and it's very funny to me. So yeah, so those are some. Oh, and Monty Python is a big influence for me too.
The Pinch 19 asks, would you rather fight a Jake-sized Amir or an Amir-sized Jake?
Oh, that's good.
Not really. They're kind of the same exact size.
They are the same exact size, but I already know that I would want to fight a Jake-sized Amir.
Really?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, because Amir's kind of gotten jacked over the last 2 years. So an Amir-sized Jake would be the mentality of Jake with, like, thick arms.
Oh, no, so sorry. I meant a Jake-sized Amir.
That's what you said. No, I'm saying I wouldn't want to fight an Amir-sized Jake, because that would be
so
Jake being...
We agree on the...
I would fight a Jake-sized Amir, yeah.
Amir... Well, so I don't know how to fight. Neither does Amir, I think. So I think it would... we would just kind of maybe slap each other until we both got tired of it and felt bad. And
Jake and Amir have told a story on their podcast before about the one time they got in a fight because Jake pantsed Amir. But like you and I have never done that. I mean, we haven't worked together as long as they have, but like I would never fight you, but you're also like, I'm like three times you.
I think if you and I were to fight, it would be like David and Goliath on your ass. So I would get a slingshot.
What's that?
I'd put some hard gummy bears in a slingshot.
No.
and go for the eyes.
I would toss Legos at your legs in front of you and me so that you kind of are trapped, so you can't step any which way. Otherwise, you'll, like, step on a really sharp piece of plastic. And then I'll,
that's good.
Yeah, and then I would kind of, like, hit you with, like, verbal insults, like, hit you in the emotional core. Saying, yeah. Like, right now, let's do it right now. So I'm like, you just got a haircut. And I was like, oh, that's not layered. That's not that layered look. That's not that summer look. Mm-hmm. Then suddenly you're kind of incapacitated because you're like bawling, right? And then like you can't step anywhere because of course the
I'm
Legos.
Actually, I think we're done.
Wait.
I think we're done for the day.
Because of the Legos?
Yeah, because of the Legos. I didn't care anything about my hair. It's the Legos.
Damn it.
On Reddit the other day, saw someone put the Hannah Montana. Whoa.
Yeah, I saw that.
It made me laugh. Okay, here we go. Here's a twofer. So Agent Michael Scarn said, Riley, how did you and Daniel meet? Was it like two trains passing in the night or was it love at first sight?
Two trains passing in the night, they didn't meet.
And Jeff, what's your favorite Indian food dish? As a fellow brown guy raised in America, I remember not liking it much growing up, but as I got older, I started to appreciate it more.
Good man. You can go first because he addressed you first.
So we didn't meet like two trains passing in the night because we did meet. and we met on Bumble.
What? Dude.
You know this. This is
I don't
not
remember.
New for you.
Well, you tell your story and then I'll tell you the first, like my side of it.
So what? So Riley will tell how she and her boyfriend met, and then I'll tell you how my side.
Just my side of their Riley relationship.
Yeah. So we met on Bumble. We were each other's first and only Bumble dates that we've ever gone on.
Honey, it wasn't Daniel's first Bumble date. That might have been what he told you, but I get you. A man like Daniel.
You were his.
I was his first.
So we matched when I was about to enter my spring semester of senior year at college, and I was home for break, and we matched in like December, and then we started messaging a little bit, and as I was like in the car going to the airport to leave for 6 months, he finally was like, oh, can I take you out for a drink? And I'm like, I mean, I'm going back to Boston for 6 months, but if we're both still single and interested in June, let's do it.
Let's June it.
And we did, and we were. We've been together 2 years and it's been chine.
What's that?
It's cheese and fine.
Don't put that in your vows, whether it's just for an anniversary dinner or marriage.
So
spending the last 7 years with you has been cheese.
Chine.
And fine. Chine.
What's your side?
Well, I just remember that we got drinks at Harlow near your old place. And then you were telling us about how, like, you matched with this guy, you're going on a date with a guy who went to USC, and George Saba and I both, well, he knew him more because they were on the same improv troupe, but I didn't really know him. But I just remember you talking about him, and then I remember it going well. That's my perspective.
Yeah, because when Daniel and I matched, we realized that we had mutual friends, including George Saba, because Daniel did improv with George in college.
Yeah.
And so it's a tiny, tiny wee world. And
he was
a
senior
that, like,
when George was a freshman. So I wasn't at USC at the same time.
Yeah.
Because I'm a year younger
Daniel
than George.
Daniel, I think, is class of 2014. He's 27.
I think it's 2015.
2015? Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2015. It's been great. And Jeff? Food.
And then it's kind of the same answer because you and I were at Harlow and like George knew about Nasi Lemak and I had no idea, but I kind of was like, and then you had it and it went well.
Wait, what?
Forget it.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. That's
yeah,
funny.
Yeah. No, yes.
No, yeah, no, for sure.
My favorite Indian dish for like takeout is just like the classics like butter chicken or chicken tikka masala. But my mom is an amazing cook. My mom's white, and my dad is from Malaysia of Indian descent. It's very hard to explain. But my mom is actually making it tonight for tomorrow, for Father's Day, a dish called Nasi Lemak, which I don't even know what it is necessarily because I've never made it. But she makes it with, like, chicken, beef, or shrimp, depending on it. And it's just basically this, like, marinated in this great thick sauce over rice. over ice, and so it's just really good. Everybody should look it up. I don't know anywhere you can even get it. So it's like you can't get it for takeout really because it's hard to find in the States. But like my mom makes it, and it's super good, and it's with coconut rice. So you have a little bit of spiciness with the meat or fish, and then you have like the sweetness from the coconut rice, and you kind of eat it with your hands off a banana leaf. It's very cool. It's also my only connection between me and Indian heritage because my dad, like I said, my dad's family immigrated from India to Malaysia to Kuala Lumpur, which is kind of like the New York of Southeast Asia. So it's a melting pot in and of itself. So that's kind of a dilution of Indian culture. And then he immigrated to Ohio for college after that. So like I'm like five generations removed from India, but that's the answer to that question. But I agree.
Five in turn,
my dad's grandmother actually only emigrated to Malaysia.
I see.
That's my great grandfather.
Right.
Parents. So four generations removed.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm the fifth, then it's five. But anyway, but I completely get like growing up in America as a brown person, like I almost didn't want to like do Indian things because I wanted to appear more like American, which I feel like Hasan Minhaj has also talked about in his stand up. So I think that's normal. Agent Michael Skarn. But yeah, I love it now.
Yeah.
Oh, Turbulent Moose says, what are your guys' aspirations for the future? Acting, singing, marinating, serenading? You guys are really talented from what I've seen so far, so I imagine it'll naturally be the third option above, which was marinating. So what's your answer to that?
Marinating is probably the first.
Right.
Just in terms of, like, meats.
Yeah. So he asks what your aspirations are, and then you say in regards to meats.
In regards to meats. And if that doesn't work out... I mean, like, I really like doing a lot of, like, more than just one form of storytelling. So acting, writing, singing, just music generally, producing, is all very just very fun. Just to keep making things and to keep making things with my loved ones and my friends. And like I really just love kind of the growing network of once you make one thing with a group of people, then inevitably those people will introduce you to other people. And it's like not even in terms of like a network climbing up thing, but truly just like developing a web of really awesome creators and friends. And so I just want to keep doing that. Cause it's fun and I love it. And not limiting myself to just doing one thing. Like in college, a lot of the professors were just like, if you want to be an actor, you just only have to do that. Or like, and it's like, I don't think that's true. And, I think like, learning about all these other aspects of art, not even aspects, all these other kind of trajectories in art, like can only help make you a more well-rounded person and artist and creator.
Yeah.
And also in terms of meats, I don't eat red meat, so I'll be marinating some chicken or some salmon or something like that. What about you?
I just want to do comedy in whatever way I'm able to. So if it's music, who gives a shit? But no, I ideally like writing and acting, whether it's on the same thing or on separate things throughout the year. Like I got to write for Carpool Karaoke and that was fun. But I miss the performing aspect. Like I really want both if I can eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like the eventual goal would be like write for TV and act on TV if possible. And then until then. And live stuff. Yeah, I mean, like, I definitely took that for granted, like, being able to do that, like, three or four times a year with HeadGum. So I'm excited to do that again. And then George Saba and I are going to start doing, like, more local backyard comedy stuff, ideally, in L.A. after COVID. But yeah, like, I don't care how or on what medium, but just writing and performing comedy. We'll see where that lands.
Right.
We should take a break.
Okay.
So we'll be right back after none of these messages. Marty.
None of them.
Actually, I think we do have an ad that we need to do this week. So thanks, okay. Marty.
Thanks, Marty.
Such a quick turnaround.
Riley, I have an Amazon subscription set up to send sunscreen to my house every single month. But it's winter. The sun doesn't come out here, so I don't need it. But I keep buying it because I keep forgetting to cancel it. And that's exactly the sort of thing that Rocket Money can help you out with. Did you know that nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I probably had, what, 3 subscriptions? Okay, I think I might have close to genuinely 24 subscriptions.
Oh my God, Alfred.
And some of them are only like $1 a month, but it adds up, okay? I've been trying to save money, and look, Rocket Money is a lifesaver. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings, okay? There's never been a better time to save. With Rocket Money, you have full control over your subscriptions and a clear view of your expenses. Rocket Money will even negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill, and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things that you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/review. That's rocketmoney.com/review. rocketmoney.com/review.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax. The way car buying should be.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Alfred, what's your social battery looking like right now? Because I know for me, I have been stressed out the wazoo and I am drained, mama.
Well, Riley, darling, it is 8:39 on a Monday night. My social battery is at 1%.
I have been so drained. I'm a little ambivert, so I love being with people, but I love being alone. And so, but I, when I'm with people, I'm on, and then I hit a wall, and then I'm like, it's time for me to leave. And so I feel like that wall has been getting closer lately. It means I'm a mix of an intro and an extrovert. Like, I don't consider myself fully one or the other.
I've been using it wrong.
What have you been using it for?
Oh, I thought it meant that you could only socialize if you're on Ambien.
Got it. Well, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. It's beautiful in spring now. So what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need more alone time. Like me, I do a little bit of both. Alf, where do you fall?
I need time away from you, that's for sure.
Okay, therapy can give you self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you've never listened to the show before, you don't know this, but if you've literally ever thought about the show, you know that Alf and I are both in therapy, and we have been for years. I love therapy so much. I cannot stress it enough. It's the best thing I ever did for myself, for my mental health, for my overall health, my emotional life, physical life, literally everything. My life has fully changed from therapy, and I feel like everyone should be in therapy. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/review today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/review. Thanks, BetterHelp.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there, and you know what? You can update it with an app, so every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
A question.
Marshland Monster writes, if you both had a month, this is really funny. If you both had a month to practice, who would be better? Riley at the yo-yo or Jeff at a Broadway performance? A bizarro of talents exchange.
What do you think?
I think you at a Broadway performance.
I would agree, but not because I think it would be hard for you to learn the yo-yo, but because, like, I do sing. I just don't ever sing. So, like, I don't know. Like, if you'd give anybody rehearsal time, they'll be good at Broadway if they can sing.
I also think just, like, I don't think I'd be very good at the yo-yo. I could certainly try. Let's just say I couldn't. I probably won't be able to walk the dog.
That's the easiest thing. You literally flex, drop your hand, and let it touch the ground.
Listen, it's not the getting it down there that's hard. It's the
That's true. The
second yo.
If you want to learn, I will gladly teach you how to yo-yo.
No, it's never been a skill that I'm like, you know what I would really want to know how to do?
Somebody asked me jokingly if it helped me get girls. There's been two times where it's actually worked like that for me.
Worked like that.
I don't want to be too blue, but I got the wagon. I ate ass because of a yo-yo jam.
Stop.
Throw.
But yes, I do think that because Jeff already is a performer, Jeff would be great at a Broadway performance.
We should do the Cats number at the next HeadGum Live.
We are going to do that and then do a review app in our Cats outfits.
That'd be not addressing it at all.
No, just finish the number and then sit down. I just want to rip
you. All right, so welcome you guys to the first live review ever.
It will make up onesies.
Togum asks, what are your most unlikable qualities? What's your most unlikable quality?
No, I answered first last time.
My most unlikable quality? I think I am very particular, which is helpful sometimes, but annoying most of the time. To people around me.
Particular about what?
Like, my family always gets mad at me because I always want to put the music on and choose the playlist and, like, curate the vibe. And if I walk into a room and the lighting, like, the overheads are on but the lamps are off, I'm like, no, 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 no. So I turn the overheads off and I turn the lamps on. This is in someone else's house, a stranger's house. But everybody is always like, oh, that is better. But, like, I wish that I didn't have that impulse. Like, and I can't turn it off. But, like, when you're making stuff, I think it helps. Like, with Good Morning and stuff, like, it'd be better to err on the side of, like, it's not good enough yet versus, like, thinking it's good and it's not.
Yeah, I get that. I get that because that's actually very similar to something that I don't like about myself, which is kind of illuminated more for me when I took the Enneagram test.
There's a lot of shame coming off of you right now.
Because I'm a one. And it basically just kind of like, if I have an idea of like what I think is right, I can kind of get into like a holier than thou position or like like judge people for not also like following the rules or doing what I think is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Or just basically like my standards, whether that's like an idea or a practice or whatever, basically if it's like if that's not being not even followed, it's not like I'm giving out rules, but it's just like I can get a little like annoyingly judgy. And then I have to remind myself, like, Riley, not everyone is going to do the same, like, something the same way that you will, and that's okay. Yeah. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Is that because you get stressed out by what might go wrong if they're doing something?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So it's anxiety. And it's not like being a good at two-shoes.
No. It's truly anxiety and Irish Catholic guilt and fear.
The perfect mocktail.
And yeah. So I guess truly just my anxiety.
Okay. Sing anxiety. The word anxiety to the tone of whoa, yeah.
Anxiety.
But do it. Okay. Again. Sorry. We're gonna take it again. Get. Basically, the first note is anxiety,
mm-hmm.
and then the rest of it is E. So get that just really fast and then hang on the Y.
I got it. Anxiety.
All right, and then this one, sorry, that was perfect. Both of these are great, but we just want alts.
Okay, great.
This one's going to be, you're going to hang on that A-N-X until the very last note, and then just kind of rush it at the end.
So sorry, hang on the X, basically.
Basically, yeah. The anxiety, okay. Like something like that, and then just really rush the end.
So you want...
You heard the note, take the note.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
This is a stressful working environment. You know this.
Anxiety.
That's the one. Cup print. You're not union, right? You're not union.
I've never heard anyone hold an X in a note, but we'll do it. Yeah, so if you want to trim that down, basically, my anxiety, which causes me to think that if people don't do it my way or the highway, that it's all going to go wrong, and then I'll judge people for not wanting to do it my way, as I think they will have forgone that and decided to take the highway.
It's going
to
go O'Reilly.
It's going to go O'Reilly, and it's like kind of comes back to the whole thing of it's like, well, if something's worth doing, I might as well do it myself. Yeah. Not proud. Okay. Hack. Okay, so this is also kind of an amalgamation of a couple different ones from Richard Cranium and Hacker 6284 and Togum, T-O-G-G-O-M. Basically, it's all of them are kind of asking the same thing of like, oh, sorry, not Richard Cranium. This is not a Richard Cranium question. This is sorry. This is an amalgamation of kind of questions from Togum. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Chipper.
It's a username. If you get it wrong, no one can be mad.
And Hacker 6284 are kind of all asking the same things of like, how did we discover our chemistry and like ability to kind of like improv with each other, make each other laugh? How and when do we make each other laugh the most? Like basically like how we came to B.
Yeah. Probably that summer that, like, of 2017 when you interned at HeadGum and we were just having a ball. Like, we both kind of agree. Everyone that interned at HeadGum that year has agreed that that's, like, the best year of our lives.
Yeah.
Like, for better or for worse, that was the best year of my life because it was just, like, a group of us all with kind of the same sense of humor and, like, sensibilities. And so we, like, would just go out and, you know, have fun on the weekend, and like work was so much fun. I was also interning at a management company at the time, and like it was a good working environment, but it was a lot of work, and I was the only intern. So like I went from that to going to HeadGum with like every. So it was just kind of night and day. Like one job was very fun, but I didn't learn anything, and then the other one was like I learned a lot, but I didn't have any fun. So yeah, that was just like probably when we started doing bits for the first time, especially the Gordon sketch. For me, what probably started it was the Gordon sketch because. It was only the interns, and we were all like, just cracking up at John George and pitching alts and stuff. That was for me. But then, like when you visited in early 2018, in January, I think, and we did the sommelier mm-hmm. sketch.
Mm-hmm.
That was when I was like, oh, it could be fun if you and I just wrote stuff. And then mm-hmm. a few months later, Jake was like, oh yeah, and what do you, what would you think if we hired Riley? I'm like, yeah, 100% do that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you even knew that, but yeah, Jake and Amira asked me what I thought, and I was like,
oh, I didn't know that actually.
Do that, like that would be so much fun.
I had no idea.
Yeah, but
what I
was
thought
so
happened was, I remember that like after that summer of me interning and I was back at school, I emailed them saying like, if they need any help, you know, when I'm back, when I graduate, I'm happy to come in like and just help or like write a vid on the side or like, you know, help shoot something. And then they're like, oh, we were going to offer you a job. I'm like, that's better than what I said. So, but yeah, it, I remember writing the Psalm sketch with you was like, okay. And
you're all drinking from the same bottle. No, you don't get wine.
The first day that Jeff and I met was also my first day at HeadGum, and we were both roped in at the last minute to be No Joke Pod with Billy Scafuri and Adam Lustig, and where we just kind of cold read pilots that they had written.
Yeah.
And I remember that being very fun. I think I've said this on live streams or maybe on If I Were You or something before, but I remember like watching, before I even applied to work at HeadGum, watching Jeff in videos with Jake and Amir, and I thought, who the fuck is this guy?
You haven't said this on, so in public. You jealous. Said it to me when we were both drunk.
Oh, that's right.
When we were with Poppy and Tay and them.
That's right. Yes, I remember thinking, like, who the fuck is this guy? Why the fuck does he have the job that I want? And being, like, very jealous and thinking that you were, like, 27. And then we met, and I'm like, oh, okay, he's cool.
I'm also almost two years younger than you.
I know. And then when I learned how old you were, I'm like, this... yeah, and it's just it's been Chime as well. This is actually like I want to get into this question because this is very funny from talking.
Yeah,
the question is specifically what/how/when do you make the other laugh the most and why? And other than the thing that Jeff does of like that look and that kind of going, the bit that always gets me is when I tell you to stop doing something and as continue doing it, you're like,
I know. I did it just now when Riley was like mad at me for being late to the record. She said, ready whenever you are. I said, okay, give me 7 minutes. And she said, so specific. And I was like, well, it's not going to take 10 and I can't do it in 5. And then she said, don't snap at me. And I was like, I didn't. I know.
Oh, I am.
I
not.
Am. I'm not. I didn't. I'm sorry for doing it. And I didn't. I'm done.
And you tell me how fucking hilarious I am, dude.
Well, that's not what the question was. The question is just what makes you laugh the most. I think what makes... I mean, there's a lot of things, but just in regards to the videos specifically, what makes me the most is I love when you are like being like kind of like stonewalling Amir and just kind of like you're being the voice of reason and he's like, I know. Like, no, I... And then he's like, I was just saying the same thing. Like, and then he's a grown-ass man. He's almost 40 years old. You're this tiny little woman. And you're like, you don't do that. No, don't do that. And he's like, no, I'm not. Like, you really put him in his place. I think that's so fucking funny. Like, in Snacks 3, I think it
when
is.
When he just cows down.
Yeah.
That's very funny.
And you're like, when you're like, we're at work. Like, that's like my favorite outtake.
I know. I didn't.
Complete Attention says, how did South by Southwest feel like? I think that's specifically for you.
How fucking dare you? Absolutely, how fucking dare you? If you want to talk about Chicago HeadGum Live.
No, I think they're worrying about Austin. That. So basically, Austin was the best fucking... Austin 2017 was the best time of my life. It was the best weekend I've ever had.
I didn't go to South by Southwest because I wasn't part of the company. Then.
What are you saying? So I don't think they can't hear you.
I didn't go to South by because I was in
I was in Boston and I wasn't officially part of the company yet, and so I actually didn't go.
I think that must have been why it was the best weekend of my life.
I actually think that Chicago weekend was one of the best weekends of
worst
my life.
Worst week. Oh, it was the best for you. It was the worst.
We actually had a lot of fun. We got to open for Middleditch and Schwartz and Jake Namir, and got to watch all of our friends' podcast and hang out with the team and go out and, you know, have all these meals together. And it was actually like a really, really fun time.
Didn't we have like chicken experience and waffles for brunch with the Doughboys or something?
Yeah. Yes.
That was too much food. Or no, I think I got like a breakfast sandwich.
But it was also really fucking fun.
No, it was really fun.
Oh, it was too much food. It was really fun.
I found the brunch spot.
I'm sharing my favorite memories, and you're like, oh, you know, it was too much food.
Should we do two more, one each?
Let's do one more each. From Sam Pritt B, what's both of your favorite cheese? Are you more of a cheddar person, or is it all about that brie cheddar style?
You can't be all about that brie, a different cheese style.
What is your favorite cheese? We love a cheese plate.
If done well and not fake, Gouda, I think. Like when I went to Amsterdam with my buddies Kevin James, and we went to like a couple of those cheese stores, and the Dutch do cheese crazily. Like they just age the shit out of it. There's like little crystals in there of something. I don't remember the chemistry of it. But when you like slice into a nice hunk of Gouda, put it on a cracker, bite into it, there's no better feeling, especially when there's those like little crackles of a crystal in there. So like it has to be from a good cheese store or just a nice grocery store. But getting it from Giant Eagle, it's like it just tastes like weird American cheese.
Okay, so Jeff's favorite cheese is Crystal Gouda. So I guess mine would have
How
to
do you
be...
make Gouda crystal? Like meth.
Jim Henson's The Dark Crystal Gouda.
What? We know you're Jim Henson, but we can't just take every idea you have. You fucking prick.
I guess mine would be like a really nice Irish cheddar or...
Like Dubliner 1843 or whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking good.
All right, don't get horny for it.
I'm not. Well, maybe. This wouldn't be to put on a cracker. Maybe a little bit, but I fucking love goat cheese. Mm. I put goat cheese on everything. Crumble that shit up. Put it with like some eggs and veggies in the morning. Put it in a salad. Anything.
There's no joy in your eyes. You're actually mad at me. Like, you guys can't see this, but like her eyes are dead and she is holding her hand out like she's giving a political speech. And she's like, put it on eggs and veggies in the morning.
Put it on anything.
It.
I love it.
Have you ever had drunken goat?
No.
It's goat cheese aged in wine.
That is chine.
And that is chine.
It's cheese and wine.
Cheese and wine. It's the most chine cheese. And if you put it on crackers, it's great. I used to have that a lot.
All right. One more question.
There were a lot of these that we didn't get to, guys. If are there any...
We'll do another one.
Well, why don't we just... If we missed any, maybe you and I can just respond to these on the subreddit.
Yeah.
So we'll, Riley and I will respond to the ones we didn't talk about on air, and you guys can check that out at reddit.com/r/review.
But what is the last question we are going to do on air?
Pooter Cake asks...
Don't say that. You can't say that.
Do you guys have any non-comedy hobbies that COVID is taking a shite on? Any clubs or sports or anything? I'll take my answer off the air, which isn't possible because it's on air now.
I guess, is cooking a hobby?
Yeah, but... You absolutely have free reign to cook.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying is that it's like cooking and baking. Like that is a
You still have no life behind your eyes right now. What is going on with you? The past two questions, they took the life out of you.
No, I got so excited talking about cheese.
See, now it's back.
This isn't really a hobby, but I love going to go to a coffee shop, pretending like I'm going to do work, and then actually sitting down, being on like Instagram for an hour or something.
yeah, it's not a hobby.
COVID's kind of fucked that up for me.
Not really a hobby, but I like taking up sensitive seat space in a Hollywood coffee shop.
I love going to the movies. I love going to a movie theater.
Yeah.
I love going with friends. I love going on my own. I think solo movie dates are very fun. I saw one of my favorite solo movie outings.
With Solo.
Was seeing, Into the Spider-Verse.
Great movie.
And it, fucking amazing movie. Had a fucking, yeah, so I, like, I, going to the movies is very fun, and so I really miss that. All the other hobbies I have, I can do at home.
There's not one that you can't do? I feel like there's definitely one. Rumble.
Not a hobby.
I think that's a hobby. Like, working out's a hobby in a way.
But I can work out at home, and I do.
Yeah, but it's not like Rumble. I really would love to go back to Rumble. I've lost like 15 pounds since we went to Rumble. So I would crush it at the bag.
Yeah, Rumble's fun. Rumble's open again. There's no way I'm fucking
That's the
going
worst
right
place
now.
You could be. That or a choral concert.
I mean, like, what about you? All the hobbies I have, I can do from home. Like play guitar, bake.
Any clubs? One Oak? Like,
One Oak?
Bootsy Bellows?
Oh, is going out to a bar a hobby?
It's definitely not a hobby, but I think that's what he wanted to hear. Yeah, like, I miss bars. But I was going to say, I miss climbing, which I wasn't doing before quarantine hit, but I literally...
But you could.
Well, I was like... about to start going with George again, which I hadn't been going for the longest time because I was just like, for a multitude of reasons, one of which was that I pulled my pectoral muscle in 2018 and then I just couldn't climb for the longest time. But now I'm doing like a lot of exercises where I'm like, okay, this is the same movement. I think I could climb again. So I really wanted to do that to get back in shape. But now I've just had to like walk and do bodyweight exercises, which is good in a different way. Bars... And surfing for sure. Like, I could go surf when I get back to LA, but I just am too scared because, like, especially now, people just aren't taking it seriously, and like, people aren't wearing masks, and like, it's not over. It's getting worse in California. It's, so, yeah. I think I'll hike, but I probably won't go to the beach right away. This
should be
all week long.
I don't know if I brought this up last time. I am, for some reason, unbeknownst to me, I was just, the spirit in me moved me to do this. I am rewatching all of Glee from the beginning.
Why?
Why not?
You, Riley's been texting me every, like, problematic thing that happened in it, like, almost in real time.
It is shocking. So one of my dear, dear friends, Dylan Wack, he recently rewatched all of Glee. And I figure, why not?
Because it's long, bad, and there's so many shows that I've been trying to get you to watch, and you're like, oh, I'll watch that next. And then you don't.
Well, I'm watching Glee.
I know! I'm saying, if that's your only slot, get rid of Glee, dude.
Glee isn't... Oh, my God, my computer's going to die in a second. Glee is not for any right age group. It is too young for me now, and at the age that it was right for me, it was too old for me then. I don't know who it's for. It's shocking. It is really, really fucking insane, but I cannot look away. It is a 10-car pileup on fire, and... I can't take my eyes off of it.
I watched the first two seasons, but that was just because my theater director, Sarah Lyon, shout out to her if she's listening, which she isn't, but she loved it. And so my entire homeroom that she was like the homeroom teacher for, we all just started bonding by watching it. So that's why I watched it.
It's insane.
To feel something and to be a
so
part of something.
That's what's been shaking me. What about you?
I'm so sad to hear that from you. But good. Not even good for you. Bad for you. Bad for you.
I know.
What's shaking me all week long is the pile driver. For those of you who haven't heard the HeadGum podcast, or the latest episode, that rather, Andrew Pyle concocted a mocktail for the ages, / for the road, / for the gram, / for the kids, / for the vine, / for the culture. And it's basically, it's a pamplemousse LaCroix, fresh lemon juice to taste, and a dash or two of bitters. Ideally Angostura. It's very good. It's sour. It's refreshing. And that's all I need in these hot days. I think you said something. I think you said that I was like a pretty talented guy and like that I was like definitely going to find
no,
love past 34 years.
No, I didn't say that. I was kind of more thinking of
thinking
like
it. You were more that. Thinking it, right? That's what you're going to say?
No, I was thinking like, oh, that drink sounds good.
Oh, that drink sounds good. No wonder Jeff drinks it because he's actually really successful
and
talented.
Well, this has been fun and we should do this kind of thing again.
Well, reach out. Tell us whether you guys liked this. If you'd like one of these a month, maybe it could be a bonus episode instead, or maybe it's a once a month thing, or once every twice a year. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out as we go.
Or if you hated it, we'll delete this episode. So
well, we can't do that. Even... We can't do that because we need to get the money.
Oh, okay. Then we won't do that.
You know.
Anyway.
So my friends who. Oh, I guess we should update that I am moving. So you were completely right.
I know.
You're not even happy that you were right. You're just like, you're still pissed.
Because it was inevitable.
It wasn't inevitable.
I knew I was going to be right.
It wasn't inevitable. If Jeffrey, the quarantine didn't hit, I wouldn't have been moving. I just got lonely.
Jeffrey.
And I need to save money because I thought that carpool was going to come back and it didn't.
You were the most extroverted person I know. Of course you were going to move.
I'm not the most extroverted person you know. I love my alone
not
time.
Not the most. You are up there.
Who's the most extroverted person you know, Elizabeth?
Poppy.
Oh, of course, Poppy. Shout out Poppy Beach Club. Luxury swimwear for people of all ages, rages, and did I mention?
Stages
of life. Shout out Poppy Beach Club. I'm moving.
You're moving.
And the place that my friends who are kind of touring some places while I'm in Ohio that they just saw that we all really like and I hope we get it. The backyard backs up to the alley, and in the alley, I'm gonna send you this right now. Just take a look at it. It looks like permanent Halloween, and you're gonna know.
Oh my God.
Sounds insane, but you're gonna know exactly what I mean when you look at this. It looks like the town from Halloween Town, and you know how much I love Halloween, so I really hope we get this place. Look at this.
Oh, it really does.
Yeah.
It really, really does.
Anyhow, any parting
wisdoms?
Thank
y'all for listening. I guess if you don't buy crumbled goat cheese and you just kind of buy like a block of goat cheese, just crumble it with like a fork or your hands. Like cut some off with a knife. Crumble it in your hands or with a fork and put it in whatever you like. You don't have to buy crumbled goat cheese.
This is your closing argument of a federal law case.
I rest my case, Your Honor.
All right, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks so much for listening. If you want, tell your friends about the show. We realize nobody really has commutes, but we could really use your help getting the word out. And we appreciate you guys. We appreciate everyone on the subreddit. Feel free to subscribe to that. We're almost at 1,000. And it's popping in there, so come be a part of something.
It's popping in there. It's very fun. As always, Jeff is, I am Jeffrey James on Instagram and at Don't Play No James on Twitter.
At Riley Anspa on Instagram, at Riley Coyote on Twitter. The Instagram for the show is at Review Review on Instagram. I think the Gmail is reviewreviewshow@gmail.com. We should be better about checking that. And by we, I mean me.
Yeah, send some more reviews.
And
like.
Black Trans Femme in the Arts. So donate if you can. If not, just maybe check out what they're doing and see if you want to get involved.
Yeah.
Maybe you fall in that category and could use their help. And if not,
arrivederci.
What's that?
Arrivederci.
The most timid way to end an episode. I'm going to plop it in here one more time and then we'll take us out.
Arrivederci.
That was a HeadGum podcast.